welcome to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm Amanda Lindeal.
And I'm Scotty.
Okay, so listen, I was watching this movie a while ago, and it got me to thinking. Now, have you guys ever seen the movie Soul? S-O-U-L.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
These movies, these cartoon movies, these animated movies are getting so, I mean, like, it's this
deep.
Movie touched
deep,
me
yeah.
deep in my soul. Yeah. I was like, good Lord, what is going on here? Like, it was all about purpose and things like that. Well, the reason why I was thinking about that movie is because a lot of people are talking about this new movie that I didn't even know was coming out until like a couple of days before it came out, and I didn't see it.
There wasn't a lot of press or anything. It just kind of was like, boom, about it. We got a new movie.
Encanto.
Mm-hmm.
That movie, I've heard a lot of great things about. Has anybody seen that movie?
I have. So I'll be honest, the first time I saw it, because I've seen it multiple times, the first time me and my friend took an edible, and the movie starts. And it's very magical, and it's very different.
Like, wow.
And we both were like, how high are we right now? Like, it was, and so there's like parts where we were just kind of like, what? Like, it was magical, but we were like, this is unlike any movie we've ever seen.
Yeah.
It blew our minds. But then I saw it a second time, and it was, I can notice all the little stuff, and it was like, it was just as magical, if not more. But Lin-Manuel Miranda does the music for it.
Yeah.
And Hamilton. So there's a lot of
Hamilton,
like ballady type songs from the characters. And Lisa is like the sister that's really strong.
Yeah.
And
she's awesome.
Yeah. And her song about just like being under pressure and having to be the strong one in the family, and like you can never get to relax. Everyone depends on you.
It's
I started crying even the first time I saw it, and I was a little stony. And my friend was still like, this movie's so weird. And I was like, yeah.
It's so weird.
Oh my God.
I don't resonate deeply with any of this.
Yeah. Scotty, have you seen that movie?
So I've watched Soul and I watched Encanto. I watched it with Tiffany and her daughter, and I was crying.
Wow.
I cry easy.
Was it that good?
I cry all the time, Lo.
Did you
cry? Crybaby.
Okay, wait.
It is that good.
It's a really, really good
movie. A lot
of
good about family dynamics and expectations and being yourself and your worth and all this stuff.
Oh, wow.
Well, and it's great because they make it so wide reaching, but you can resonate. Anyone can resonate with those movies, and they'll find little parts that they specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well,
there's all sorts of characters. I felt like there's a character named Bruno, and I felt very. Mm-hmm. Closely, like he felt isolated from his family.
Yeah, kind of like the black sheep.
And I feel like that sometimes. So
let's
explore
that for a moment, though. Let the movies, animated movies that like pulled at the heartstrings, right?
Yeah.
Like one of those movies, it was about just the different emotions inside someone's head.
Inside Out.
Yeah,
fantastic. They're all just so
good. It was so good. And
there
was this one moment where it was a little side character. I think his name was like Oingo Boingo or something.
Oh, her like childhood.
Yeah,
It's Bing Bong.
Bing Bong. Okay,
Oingo
there you
Boingo
go.
Is so similar to Bing Oingo Bong. Boingo. You were really close.
Bing Bong. And it was the moment where he sacrificed himself so that she could.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
I held my breath. I was like,
no. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Right? And did anybody see the movie Up? Remember Up?
Yeah. Okay. All
right. The original Decimator.
You're trying to make me cry right now.
Right? The original
Decimator. Just get wrecked. First like minute of the movie, you're like,
That
what?
Movie.
They're so cute.
We were in the movie. Listen.
I cried.
We were in the movie theater. And it was a bunch of kids there, but like all those kids had parents, right?
All the parents are crying.
And so listen, so that part happens in the movie, and this guy goes, "What the heck?" In the middle, he was like, "I didn't come here for this."
He was so mad. But it's like about an old guy. He's young and in love. What do you think is gonna happen?
He turned around.
Ends up lonely.
People
and old.
Started laughing because it was like the initial
this
laugh
is
or whatever.
Serious.
But this guy was like, he had tears rolling down his eyes, and it was a bunch of people in there, like kind of like laughing through the
it
crying
was,
at that point.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Is
like
was, I feel like this is one of those guys. He hasn't cried for like a year.
No,
and he needed it. But
he was angry about it.
He was real mad about it because you took those tears.
I don't want to cry.
You took those tears for him.
Yeah.
Like those
it's
tears were taken.
Emotional repression. Yeah.
I just cried yesterday over something like really silly, and I cannot even. It was a movie too, but I haven't even seen the movie. I just didn't think much of it. Okay, so the new Ghostbuster movie.
Mm-hmm.
Afterlife.
So good.
I didn't see it.
It was really good.
But the clip came up because it said Egon and the Ghostbusters reunite.
Yeah.
And so, I'm sorry, folks. Spoiler alert. If you don't want to hear this part, turn us off.
Spoiler.
But it's out there. I mean,
that's our spoiler.
It's already out there.
I just made up on the spot.
Well, in this scene, you get Egon reunited with the boys for this one last.
It was.
And he's holding the... the Ghostbuster weapon with his granddaughter. That,
yeah,
and it's just like so and it didn't shy away from it.
I saw it in theaters. The whole theater went, and we're all just holding it, and we were like, "This is really happening."
Oh man, I had my headphones in while I was listening to it, and I'm watching it on YouTube, and my eyes well up, and you just hear Bill Murray.
It got me, man. Once Bill Murray started talking, I was like,
"That's it."
Boom.
Yeah, I just start crying.
As most things that he does,
I cry easy at movies. Yeah. Certain things, it'll be like the smallest thing, and I'll just be like,
I feel like if me and Amanda went, we wouldn't even watch it. It'd just be us crying.
Just be crying.
Oh my goodness!
I always blame it on my dog. You know, you blame your dog for farts. I blame it for crying in movies.
It would be ugly crying too.
And then my dog's like,
they're like, "Why are you crying at the SpongeBob movie? What's happening?"
Oh, I cried during that movie.
What about when Mufasa died?
Okay, I was a little child, and wasn't the trauma.
Yeah, well, that movie and Bambi were my favorite when I was a kid. And those movies are just parent death.
I saw a compilation. It was like kids in the 90s just trying to enjoy movies. Land Before Time, Lion King.
Every kid's movie uses Finding to get Nemo. The plot going.
Finding Nemo. All these movies from the 90s and early 2000s.
Finding Nemo
just
too.
Everyone, Bambi.
Right out the gate, Finding Nemo. You're like,
wrecked.
Oh, you know what's one of the worst ones, though? The worst culprits is The Fox and the Hound.
Oh, my goodness.
Man. That's just. Yeah. It just gets you.
That's
like
a good one.
They even got the they dress her up as an owl, but it's really like the old black lady.
She's
literally voiced by an old black lady too. She's like, "Come on, babe," and I'm just like, "Oh my god,
this is not thinly veiled at all." This is,
oh my god,
this is
terrible. I hate
terrible.
When the movies do that.
Oh my goodness, you know those movies were always good for a little old fashioned, some little old fashioned racism.
And you don't notice when you're a kid. And you're like, "What in the?"
Oh, Aristocats! I just rewatched. I was like, what is this?
Oh, man.
There's a scene. I don't want to talk about it, but I was like, this is not casual at all. This is very clearly.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
you know exactly
what
scene it is.
Where you don't think you see it.
I haven't seen it since I've been since I was a kid.
It's a cat, and he is very clearly depicted to be a
Asian.
He's Asian.
Yeah,
he's
Asian
playing
Chinese.
And he's playing chopsticks on the piano with chopsticks, and
it's so
very.
Bad.
There's gongs going off in the back. I was like, what is
he's
this?
He's like a Siamese cat. Remember Lady and the Tramp, the Siamese song?
So it's not.
They don't hide it.
I see you.
You know what's funny? I was watching Dumbo the other day.
Oh my goodness! I know exactly what you're about to say.
They got the crows.
Yeah. The crows.
You know the lead? Did you know the lead crow's name? It's Jem Crow.
Oh,
his name is Jem Crow.
I can't.
They didn't. And they just say, and they just get him out there, and he goes, "I'll be done seeing about anything." And I'm just sitting there like, "Are you serious right now?" I was like,
"I'm
love
not
this
even
movie.
Mad. This is like,"
and you know what's mad? You know what's maddening is that like the song is still good.
You're like, "Wow, I can't. I'm so conflicted. It's so well written.
This song is so well written." And they do help the hero in the end. You know what I mean? But it's just like, oh, man.
Yeah, not.
Folks, you're listening to The Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
And I'm Scotty.
And we'll be right back.
KXRW would like to thank Craft Cannabis, our exclusive cannabis sponsor, for supporting our radio community. Their wide variety of products range from edibles, pre-rolls, concentrates, vapes, CBD topicals, tinctures, and much more. Craft Cannabis now has two locations in Vancouver. The newest shop is on Andreessen Road off of Patton Parkway next to Home Depot. The Mill Plain location is located in the Heights Shopping Center. Customers 21 years of age and over can order online or in person. Both locations are open 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. 365 days a year. More information available at craftcannabis.com.
Welcome back to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
And I'm Scotty.
So today was supposed to be Betty White's birthday. 100 birthday.
Oh my goodness.
And we know that she didn't make it. You know, December 31st
was
the day that she actually died. But you know what? I feel like we just should round it up and just give it to her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Some magazines already like kind of went a little too fast on that. And
I feel
already
like
posted about like she's turning 100.
I feel like she was like, no. One day before.
Yeah.
I'm a boss. I'm going to go out on my own terms.
Well, what I do love about, you know, every so often we get these internet things that come out and they're just like these challenges or whatever, and it's just kind of ridiculous. They get ridiculous. But this one, you know, the Betty White challenge, which was, you know, today, and if you're hearing this and, you know, it's past, you know, obviously past today. You know, you can still go out and donate to a, you know, a animal shelter or something. And they're doing
donate
this for,
to a charity.
Yeah, the Betty, calling it the Betty White challenge. And I think that's just, you know, remarkable. It just shows, you know, the power that, you know, of her legacy, you know, of just kindness.
Just a kind heart.
Yeah, just for real.
Totally holy good.
And in, like, especially the entertainment industry, it's so hard to not turn into, like, a hardened, angry person.
Skis ball.
But especially, like, being a woman and being in comedy or being in entertainment, she did everything she could to uplift people, but she never seemed to have, like, a chip on her shoulder. She was still a really kind, good-hearted person. And that, I think, is the rarest of all. Because you can start off like Betty White. You're going to end up like Krusty McGee or something.
Oh, my goodness.
Krusty Dusty.
We lost another. Yeah. We lost another. I know we covered this on another show, but, you know, Bob Saget. You know, and you know, you don't want to compare anyone's legacies or anything like that. He's his own person, but he had a formidable legacy of being like America's dad in Full House. You know what I mean?
Until you saw a stand up, and then you're like,
well, yeah.
But I mean, the contrast is kind of like that.
Still the same.
That's cool
thing,
too, though,
you know?
Because it's you don't have to just be that guy all the time.
You know,
and he did it to be shocking and was funny, and you know, sometimes it's a lot, in my opinion. But it's like the whole purpose of it was to be a different version of what everyone saw. And I think that that's cool too. And he was still a kind person though. So it wasn't like he was good on the show and then on, you know, doing stand up, he's just raunchy and kind of mean. And then that's who he is. But like that was still an alter ego too. Like he was, I think, closer to the dad on Full House than he was to a stand up persona.
Everyone is more than what they appear. So like everyone has both sides.
Exactly.
And he's like,
he was able to do both.
We come off a certain way, but we're normal people too.
Yeah.
We have our own.
Oh my gosh. Let me tell you. I love being very, very boring at home, you know, just doing very normal things as we are like normal people. But it's easy to get wrapped up in like when you go to these shows and stuff and to get, you know, kind of wrapped up in the jokes and wrapped up in the personas and wrapped up in all those things. But like we're very much I mean, everyone, I don't care what level you are. Everybody, you know, washes their butt the same way, hopefully. You know what I mean? Everybody puts their pants on the same way, hopefully. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you'd be surprised.
Barring terrible circumstances, you know, but everybody's
jump in both legs at the same time.
Oh, God, yeah.
I go from the bottom of the pants up.
Oh, nice. Reverse dog leg left.
Oh, my goodness. You know what, though? You know, speaking of comedians and stuff, you know, we literally have been doing this, you know, been doing stand-up for, you know, and you've been doing stand-up a long time here.
It'll be a decade in March.
As a viewer, you guys
a decade?
In general, doing stand-up, yeah.
You guys are so funny.
Oh, you're pretty funny, too, honestly. You're my favorite customer. At the bar, you always make me laugh.
You know, I'm just goofy, and I'm good at schmoozing, so I feel like people that are good at schmoozing are generally pretty funny.
Yeah, people.
And I'm pretty goofy. Quick and just, I'm crackhead energy, so I just make people laugh.
I don't know. I'm kind of a storyteller. Like, I feel like
you
Amanda's
tell a good story.
The comedian. Like, Amanda is the comedian.
I'm zany. You're the storyteller.
Well, she does classes
Amanda's
and
good.
Stuff on it, and she's really good at it. And, you know,
really
like,
good.
You were Portland's funniest semi.
I've been in the semifinals a few times. I never made it to the finals, but I know it's not really about that. It's about being better than you were last time you went up.
Always
like a year later, be like, okay, now I know not to do or what to do, like what to lean into, how to get more comfortable. And
I think the thing that impresses me is no matter what set I'm watching, you have a very well constructed format for your sets, very organized. And like the last one, it looks that way.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
Like,
but then
the last one, you hit really hard with like this really dark joke, and then everyone's like, kind of real, and you brought them back, and you're like, okay, we're gonna move past that. And that was really triggering for a lot of you.
Yeah, and that's a skill too. You got to bomb a lot to know how to dig yourself out of those holes. In a fine way, and get them
you
to
dug,
like you.
And then you won them back at the end, and it was like, wow, okay, this is impressive.
Yeah, because sometimes I'm like, this joke's for me. I hope you guys like it. If you don't, I got a thing to say if you don't like it. And if you do, I'll just be like, nice, and I'll keep going.
Nice.
But you got to have a oops-a-daisy,
very,
something
very
to pick
well
you
done.
Up.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, for the viewers who don't know, you know, the Rogue Apostle Show, we host comedy shows, and we host drag shows, and we host variety shows. And, you know, we got some coming up this month, and, you know, we have monthly shows coming up. But you can see everyone's skill sets. come into play.
I love the different personalities coming together.
Yeah, when we do these shows.
And this show is a microcosm of the live shows, too. So if you if you can hear a personality on the radio, imagine that at a live setting.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely. 10, 100 times more.
Absolutely. And then we're going to have some music shows come up. And then Scotty's got a new single that actually just hit Spotify.
I just started my Spotify. I'm tired of not releasing stuff. And I've been working really hard on with this really talented producer named Darian Winters over in Portland, and he helped me put together a really solid first single, and I'm really proud of it.
Yeah.
A lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this.
Yeah, and you know what? Years ago, Dave Chappelle had this block party.
Oh, that was the...
It was... what we're going to do is we're going to throw, like... You're going to try to throw something like that, you know, like a big block party thing, but like have you or some artists and musicians and comedians and just like make it like a big variety, like block party.
Yeah, artist collaboration.
Oh, man. And just get the community together, man. Yeah. That would be.
Summertime jam.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And now.
I'm so excited.
Amanda, you're still doing the circuit, but you got some extra shows coming up in Vancouver and in Portland, don't you?
A lot of my shows got canceled this month because of COVID, so I have more stuff coming up in February. I'll be out of town. I also do another show called The Smoke Break, and that just dropped on Spotify, and that's it's like an hour-long show. We talk about mental health, and
that's amazing.
Me and my friend Zane, he's a comedian and rapper too, and some of his friends that aren't really in those circles, but we all talk about mental health and joke around a little bit, and sometimes it's current events, but it usually ends up being kind of like deeper talks with mental health, so that's pretty cool. Check that out. That's
amazing. Yeah, you know, mental health doesn't get talked about a lot. Yeah, no. We kind of like want to push that stuff under the rug, and it's about time, you know, that we really try to come at it from ways of like real healing, right?
Yeah,
like,
and I think so we all with music all have dealt
or
with
come
that.
With the art or come at it with, you know,
and the more we talk about it, the less weird it is if it happens to you, because it's more relatable. That's the thing about mental illness, is you feel alone, and then you find out someone else feels the same way, and then you're like, everyone kind of struggles with this in different ways. Great.
Yeah,
this is part of the human experience. Awesome.
And I think everyone goes through it in their own way, and all three of us I know have been through it, and we all kind of express that and use it as a fuel through our mediums.
Yeah, through art, whatever.
Oh, dude, man,
everything I've been through goes into whatever song I make.
Yeah,
you know, to see then someone doing that, like using their trauma, and becoming a better person for it,
and helping others go through it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's I don't know.
Magical. It's like the alchemy of turning tragedy into comedy, or tragedy into
The wounded healer.
Art, music, whatever.
Look at some of these comedians. Richard Pryor. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, Eddie Murphy, Eddie Griffin. George Carlin. George Carlin made, it's not the money aspect, but he became so popular for telling the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this guy just was just like, are you looking at what I'm looking at?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm just like, yes, George.
He saw things without a veil. Most people just are blind to. And he's like, I see it how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And he told it how it was. And you can love him or hate him for it. But that man was a genius and a legend. And his legacy will live on.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, you're listening to The Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm Amanda Lindeal.
And I'm Scotty.
And we'll be right back.
A big thank you to our founding partners at Morel Inc. Print and Marketing for their ongoing support of community radio. Morel Inc. is a woman-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop that since 1993 has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative printing and marketing solutions. Morel Inc.'s experienced staff creates partnerships with their clients and uses the latest technologies to meet their needs. More information about which of Morel Inc.'s products, printing, and marketing strategies will best serve your next project and budget can be found at morelinc.com. That's MORELINK.com.
A big thank you to Vancouver's own Kiggins Theatre for supporting our radio community. Our historic Kiggins Theatre has a long tradition of showing movies for our community. 85 years. Kiggins currently features First Drawing Big Studio and Art House films, along with classic movie revivals. Check out their live events, and you can even book the theater for a private party or a public event. Go to KigginsTheater.com to see how you can rediscover the joy of going out for movie night again. Showtimes, booking information, and more at KigginsTheater.com.
You're listening to The Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm Scott.
And I'm single.
Oh, buddy.
The Rock, if you're listening.
Buddy, Dwayne. Dwayne.
Please, if you are listening,
bring you and your Blanco tequila over here, and we will have a party.
Bring the tequila
we'll have
first.
A 6 month anniversary.
Yeah, in one night. Yeah.
He won't let him go for 6 months.
It's gonna be 6 months of 6 months of a relationship in one night.
The only thing that Faith would hold on longer to than the Rock is a poorly made taco from Jack in the Box. Oh.
I am looking over, and James has a look. Oh, yeah. He's coming for the kill.
Yeah,
he's bringing the smoke right now.
I'm just saying. You know, if you want to talk about toxic relationships, we should talk about that toxic relationship. You know
I feel like I'm your guys' relationship counselor. Like, we need to sort this out.
She's in a bad on and off relationship with Jack in the Box.
Okay, hold on. What is your Jack in the Box order?
She doesn't want to claim it.
I need to know.
Okay, fine.
For the viewers, what is the order?
With Shane.
We're going to you next. You're going to your Arby's order after this.
It's a jumbo jack with cheese meal, you weirdo.
Okay. All right.
My sister was pregnant last time, me and James got together, hung out, and we cruised by Jack in the Box real quick, and we were in the drive thru.
I protested.
James, what was the only thing that was freaking open?
Yeah, it was the only thing that was open. It literally, like, Scott.
Yeah.
We had no choice. I'm sticking.
I did
it.
The.
We actually did have a choice.
No, we did.
It was either Arby's or Jack in the Box. It was, and I refused because I was driving.
She was driving.
That is fair, but he would. It would be the same if he was driving.
I drove directly past it.
Yeah, she drove directly past it to a.
And you look. You did a deep look at Arby's, and you looked James in the eyes and said,
"I said we're not.
We don't have the meats."
She passed over Arby's.
We have Jack in the
Box.
And it was a good like 2 miles further down the road too. I was like, I would have.
He's just look. He's in the back seat actually looking forlornly at Arby's.
Unmitigated goal.
He's just way. He's a subtle one.
Whatever. Anyway, let's get back to the fact that she ordered Jack in the Box taco.
I can't even.
No. Okay, you need to stop.
They do a good boiled taco.
Last time we went there, first of all, we didn't get our tacos because it was too late at night.
Mm-hmm.
Circumstances were just not conducive.
It's not happening yet.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I don't eat the tacos. It was for my sister who was pregnant at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You get that woman whatever she wants.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
She
is
nasty
pregnant.
Tacos. She can get nasty tacos. Mm-hmm. Look, they're not all hits. I'm not.
They are
say,
not. Most of them are not.
No.
I would say on those tacos.
Cheese,
I just
I'm
think.
On board. I'm on board.
I just think that when you bring someone up who cannot defend themselves or cannot cooperate the story, I feel like that's highly suspect.
It's sussy.
It feels suspect. Because now the sister wanted tacos. And listen, I know her sister. Lovely girl. Beautiful dog.
I bought the album for my sister.
Oh, yeah. I bought that album for
my
sister. If anybody needs to get in touch with my sister about Jack in the Box tacos, you know,
she probably would claim
oh
it.
Oh my
yeah,
goodness!
And their house, they you know what they eat? Do you know
what
they eat? Grape nuts.
I eat
the on
grape nuts.
The regular.
I'll take the grape nuts on.
So
the,
I had
the one that
we,
eats the grape nuts.
So
litter.
We
Kitty
have
litter.
Just started like kind of becoming friends and co-host, and I am betrayed.
You
the,
yeah,
like, grape nuts.
Yeah, you
I don't know
you connected
know.
With her
oh.
this whole time, and you didn't even know
this whole time
that was happening.
Ever had some cheddar cheese on apple pie?
Folks, let me apologize to you right now.
I feel a little my God.
I'd just like to apologize for what you're hearing right now. This radio station.
We don't. I don't condone this.
We don't
condone what I'm hearing right now.
I'm gonna speak
much of this is what much of this is new to us.
I speak up to my 10 fans out there. Know exactly what it is.
You just gained a grape nut fan.
And I'm yeah.
Her fans are the fans who like grape nuts, Jack in the Box.
Okay, yeah.
Cheese on apple pie.
Cheddar cheese.
Snakes.
A good cheddar.
Yeah.
I like snakes.
Are
snakes are cool.
Snakes are cute.
Oh, my God.
Snakes
you
are cute.
Are
okay, are you ready, James?
Let's,
fine,
okay,
let's
now we're going to your Arby's.
First of all, Mr. Abba Zabba.
You do not come for Abba Zabba.
Chico sticks.
Okay, all right,
that's
hold on.
A classic candy.
It is not, though.
It's a classic
candy.
I'm gonna.
Classic, yeah. With
I am.
Titanic is classic.
Oh,
where it's at
no.
the bottom of the ocean with two pieces.
See, you know, folks, I'm so sorry you had to listen
I'm
to.
I'm so sorry for your rocking chair that's going to burn out your couch across
the next 2 years. It's a classic candy. It's still sold in stores.
I do like Chico sticks, but I have allergies. So if I could pick literally.
any yeah. chocolate thing, I would, but I'm allergic.
Yeah. You're allergic? Yeah,
exactly. I'm allergic to milk and tree nuts. So
yeah,
I get like, they're like, we have this red velvet cake made from scratch. Here's some Skittles.
Yeah.
And oh, I'm
yeah.
10, and I never recovered.
See, James yeah. chooses those things on purpose, oh. though. It's not that he has allergies, it's just that he has terrible taste in candy.
It's peanut Aren't and you coconut, kidding? Right?
It's coconut.
It's flaky, yeah. Okay, I like a Chico
Stick. Literally, it's what Butterfingers are made of.
You can yeah, choose literally anything but that. You could choose a Butterfinger.
Oh my gosh.
It's literally the worst part of the Butterfinger.
But apparently this show, also, Faith is choosing violence.
What
I just want to, I just want on the record, for the record, for the record, for the record, I came in peace. I came in peace.
You did not.
Then she attacked me out of nowhere. Everyone here is looking. Everyone here is listening.
James mouthed the words, "You're going down."
No, I didn't.
And he stared her in the eyes.
I did not.
He started this entire thing. Literally, just he looked at her and he was like, "Let's talk about Jack in the Box."
And he knew. He just lit the fire.
So my co-hosts have turned on me.
Well,
I literally.
Yeah, folks, we didn't even get to Arby's though.
Yeah, let's talk about. We're gonna let's circle back.
To I just want to talk to the people.
Excuse me, Mr. Oh, Jesus, Arby's in business. Why are you paying like twice deli prices for half the deli meat?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
My word,
that have, is like, slanderous. And
this is libel. He says
libel.
It's not even like real cheese on it either.
They use
it's like cheese whiz, right?
Cheese.
It's like cheese whiz, right?
Yeah, it is. It's like
I only it's order like three off. Things on that menu. I only okay. order three things on the menu.
To be fair, what's your Arby's order? What's your Arby's order?
Okay, so I get the chicken sandwich.
Okay.
It's a fried chicken sandwich. It's a really good chicken sandwich.
I have no words for you.
Fried okay. chicken.
The mocha okay. shake is really good.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it is really good. And then the turnovers they have there. They're good.
A fried chicken sandwich, a mocha milkshake, and turnovers?
Sometimes a fried
chicken. Is there a particular reason you have to get these at Arby's?
They're good. Oh. They're really good.
There's no way. I was so close to cursing right now.
This sounds like a gas station there's order.
Thank you, FCC. Exactly. Thank you, FCC. Protecting me.
No way that you have had a fried chicken sandwich from any other restaurant and you said, nope, Arby's is it. This is the one, right?
I feel like you walked into the Stop and Go and they had the Chester's chicken attached to it and you just mimicked that order and Arby's just had it.
First
that's
of all.
That's pretty much it.
The violence in this room, the violence in this segment is uncalled.
There's Popeyes.
I'm kind of in the middle here because I don't the boiled tacos.
You can't go to a Popeyes during peak hours. You spend 3 hours.
You're done. You're in the line.
It takes forever for them. They're literally out of chicken all the time.
I can't even eat it.
Well, then I guess we'll have to figure out somewhere else you can get a fried chicken sandwich. Wait a second. Literally anywhere. Holy cow.
You know what?
You could go to Bigot Bird.
What is that? Okay, I draw the line there. At least he does not.
I call Chick-fil-A Bigot Bird.
Yeah.
Oh, Bigot Bird. Yeah. No, I can't be doing all that.
Yeah, we can't be doing that.
Yeah.
I will say, I think we can all agree there is one restaurant a step below Arby's.
Oh.
That's it. I'll just go with
Hold
that.
On. Which, what is the restaurant?
What restaurant is that?
We only have Chick-fil-A. I'm not.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
I can't do it.
I've never even had the food there, actually. What is it like? Is it good?
I wish they weren't the way that they are. Yeah. That's how good it is.
Yes,
you know, we should also just like look into that because I've heard a lot of things about the fact that they've like walked back a lot of those policies.
We'll see.
It's gonna be interesting just to see. So folks,
they're honey mustard. Yeah, they're honey mustard.
Whatever.
Folks,
she's really into the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Faith.
And we'll see you next time.